Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right, guys, tonight's message is entitled, Thank You. Thank you, guys, for being here tonight. So I was at Quick Trip just the other day, and this lady, you know, people are always in a rush, hence the name Quick Trip. And I was opening a door, and the lady, I could barely hear her, but she rushed past me and said, thank you. I was like, oh, well, that's nice. I just sat there and thought about that for a minute as she like ran by me and didn't even make eye contact with me and just said, thank you. I feel like she was thankful that I opened the door, but was also thankful that I was not in her way. And I think a lot of times that is how we are. We love it when people do stuff for us, whether it be the Lord or the people around us. But we also have that other side of us that says, man, I'm just glad that I could just get out in front of those people and just get past that person. And, you know, that thank you is just what the polite people say, right? I'm a good and godly man. I got to say thank you. Oh, no, no, no. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You're too gracious. Oh, no. But thank you. You know the one. You know the one. I really find it interesting because we see this kind of certain words like thank you everywhere. You know, I can't tell you how many times in a day do you say thank you because you're good Christian people, huh? How many times do you say thank you? I probably say it probably more than most. I don't know if I always mean it. I'm a pastor after all. I have to say it more. Right? But it's funny. Actually, when I hear the word thank you, I think of the Led Zeppelin song for you 70s and 60s children. Remember the song Thank You? No, like you never listened to Led Zeppelin. Man, you guys put up a good show. So where it takes me back to is when I got married, that was one of the songs that my wife and I danced to. And it's funny to me because it doesn't say thank you in the song. The song's called Thank You, but in the song, it has words like, if the sun refused to shine, I will still be loving you. Right? And I think about that like 10 years later with my wife. And I don't know if every day that we felt that way towards one another. And then there was words like, when mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me. Well, I know sometimes my wife would like to hit me with a mountainside. But, you know, you get the point. I think that we have this idea of thank you, this idea of gratefulness, this idea, but it's somehow skewed amongst who we are and how we are as human beings. Another one that really got me was in that lyrical, it says, my love is strong with you, there is no wrong. Right. After 10 years of marriage, there's plenty wrong with me. There's plenty still wrong with me. All right, guys. So, I mean, it's really unfair expectations. You know, you hear those kind of romantic things, and it's a nice sentiment, but is life the reality of marriage, you know, as it sits in? Do you think that my wife and I continually gave thanks for one another, especially when we were in the world? Absolutely not. I wish I could say that it was so. But then, you know, I think about those thank yous. I think about those kind of skewed thank yous. But then I just think about the thank you that is blatantly, I'm just saying out of obligation, right? Because there's some thank yous we say and it's just like, yeah, I really mean this at the moment, right? But then there's the ones that are just blatant. It's like when you give your kids something and they don't want to have the conversation. Like when you give them vegetables and they're like, thank you. That's, you know, there's that just blatant, I'm saying it out of obligation because that's the thing I'm supposed to say. There is the occasion when I give Mary something very much like that and she just doesn't want to converse with me at all after she says thank you. And I can tell that's often how we are when God gives us certain things. You know, well, we got to thank God, but our heart isn't in it. And so I think about that. I often look at my child and think about me and my relationship with God. And it would seem so often that we say words to disguise the condition of our heart. And because we don't want to really have that conversation, do we? We don't want to have the conversation that our heart's in the wrong place. You know, like the word sorry. You ever meet somebody who says sorry all the time? Sorry, 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 sorry. Sorry, did I mess up just now? Because I'm sorry. Right? Sorry. I'm horrible at that. I'm horrible at that. That is one of the things that Patrick has worked with me on for the 7 years I've been with him. I'll say, I'm sorry. He'll be like, why? Why are you sorry? You didn't do anything. I'm sorry. Does that make it better? Good. See, I'm not sure when that all started in my life, the whole sorry thing, but if I could, you know, I think at some point it made sense to me, if I could say sorry enough times, maybe I would actually be repentant. But of course, that is simply not the case. I found out in a lot of situations, if I said the magic word enough, I could avoid having the conversation altogether. Right? You just say, if I say sorry, they have to, like, let me go. It's like the magic, like, get out of jail free card. You know, thank you is a word just like that, like our sorry word. We can thank someone for opening the door, but at the same time that we're thankful that they're not in the way. You know, we're thankful that they opened the door, but we're thankful that they're not in the way. Just like I said about the lady who rushed me at Quick Trip. But if we thank them, then we seem generous though, right? Like if you're that person trying to get through that door, it seems like we're being generous enough, but don't have to have the conversation. We don't want to have that conversation with ourselves. We don't want to look at them in the eyes as we pass them to really, you know, have the conversation about truly having a heart of ungratefulness. It is that very thing that I want to converse about tonight. I want to converse about that dichotomy of saying thank you, but really being thank you. I think you can teach any monkey how to say thank you, but gratitude comes from the heart. So sure, we're thankful for the things we want. We're thankful for friends and family. Well, most family. But have we forgotten what thankfulness really means? I think that is the key. I would say to all of us, including myself, if it's in the Bible, I probably have forgotten about it at some point during the day, about Thanksgiving. It is our best interest to be reminded that everything we have is a gift from Him. So without gratefulness, we become arrogant and self-centered. We begin to believe that we have achieved everything on our own. Thankfulness keeps our hearts in right relationship to the giver of all good gifts. Which is why it is of the utmost importance that we have a chance to focus on Thanksgiving and the top five things to keep our heart near to that attitude of what they say, the attitude of gratitude, right? The attitude of Thanksgiving. That thank you may not be a dead word in our daily lives, all right? And so these are the five that I want to cover tonight. One, His way. Two, His work. Three, His word. Four, His will. And five, His wonder. So what is true thankfulness? Pagans are thankful. Atheists are thankful. Christians are thankful. Seems that we're all somehow following the same guidelines, right? But we know when we look to the Word that being thankful is, it's more of a way of life than it is a saying or a word that we say. We see this thought in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word is tauda. It means to give thanks or praise. Okay? And so this concept of thanksgiving, there's this concept of praise that comes along with it. And then eucharisteo in the Greek. So it comes in two parts. To be well off or to prosper. And charizome, which means to do something agreeable or pleasant to one, to show kindness or forgiveness. You put those two together, it gives you the same concept, to be grateful, thankful, of praise. It's interesting, in the Hebrew, the tauda, the root word of that means to, like, shoot out at something, like to praise towards something. It's a very direct throwing something towards another thing. So it's used in a multiple ways in the Bible to be thankful. But in the multiplicity of what it is used for, we see it always in response to what God is doing. Okay? No matter how we see it, or in the different variations that we'll see gratitude or thankfulness, we'll see that it's always in direct response to what God is doing. Nelson's Bible Dictionary says that it is the aspect of praise that gives thanks to God for what He does for us. Thanksgiving should, like, it should spring forth from a grateful heart. But it's required of all believers also, regardless of their initial attitudes. See, Jesus gives us the best example of thanksgiving. And I'm going to use three parts of scriptures tonight, two from Matthew and one from John, and just to kind of give you an idea of the example of thanksgiving that Jesus sets forth for us. Go to John 11:41. And we'll start up in 38, actually. John 11:38. So it says, then Jesus again groaning in himself came to a tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him who was dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people you are standing by, I said this, and that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Matthew 11:28, it says here, come to me and I will give you rest. Okay, so this is this concept of Jesus talking about his kingdom and us resting in him. And Jesus says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. And then again, we see another scripture where Jesus says, and he took a cup, and when he gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. So in each of these passages, he's thanking God. He's thanking God. He's praising God for what he's done in where he's raising Lazarus from the dead. He's taking a step of faith, or that knowing before anybody is, I mean, he knows, but everybody else is sitting there waiting for him to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he praises God with his lips that everybody might see. When we have that heart of praise, when we believe, when we have that heart of gratitude of what God is doing, God always shows up. God always shows up. He shows up and Lazarus was raised from the dead. And at the same time, he's thankful to God for the way he works in that next passage where he says that I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. We know that his kingdom is a place that the smart, or by people of worldly knowledge, don't really get it or understand it, do they? The professors in colleges, they come after the Bible with all their head knowledge they have, don't they? Right, but it's so funny that he made something so simple, something so intense, so grand as the saving mankind, and that he could reveal it to the simple. And so the last one is that he's thanking God for what he's going to do. He is there at the Last Supper, and he's saying, let's give thanks. He's talking about his blood and that he's giving himself as a sacrifice to all of the world. And here he gives thanks. He's about to go get beaten and put on a cross, and he's thanking. He's thanking the Lord, and he's asking everybody to partake in that thanksgiving, in that praise to the Lord for what the Lord is going to do as he creates that bridge for us to cross so we can have fellowship with the Lord again. And it goes on. This concept of thanksgiving, see, Jesus gets it. Like, that's just who he is. See, giving praise to God, he's giving praise to himself. He is worthy. He's the only one that's worthy of that. And he shows us this example time and time and time again. I mean, we are commanded that we should offer thanksgiving in Psalm 50:14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Right? So we have this command. But we, you know, you might say you're under the law of love. We're not under the Old Testament rules, right? So we don't have, maybe that makes you feel better that you don't have to offer. I don't have to do that. I don't have to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, I got love on my side. Well, you know, you may think that Job and David, that they had to be thankful for their miserable circumstances, like when David was stuck in a cave running from Saul, or when he's running from his son. But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, I think of David, and yet he could still be thankful even in the midst of a cave. And Job, I never really felt like he, when you read through Job, that he was forced to have a heart of thanksgiving. And so I look at that, but again, we can see there's no change to this thought process throughout the New Testament. Even under the law of love, there's just still this concept. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So what is the key to a thankful heart? Well, we're going to look at those five ways, and it begins with this concept of his way. It's his way. What is God's way? Well, we know his way is above ours. I mean, we know his ways are foreign to us, okay? And so, because think about that. When I say to you, give thanks in everything, when he tells you that you need to give thanks in everything, what's your initial response? When people die, when people that you know are sick, when people you know are going through struggles, what is our natural response when we say, thank you for, God is saying you need to be thankful for everything. You need to praise me in everything. Yeah, it's my response. What are you talking about, Willis? What are you talking about, God? How can I thank you for everything? See, he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, by what is our response to his ways? Well, Jesus shows that his response to Lazarus being dead. You know, it's not our way. He waited a long time for, you know, days before he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, if I had the power to heal and I heard that my friend was sick, I would have ran. Send him to the hospital, get him fixed. That wasn't Jesus' way, was it? That wasn't God's way. Why wasn't it God's way? Well, his ways, he always gets the glory. He always gets the glory. And he knew that if he would wait and he could exercise that thanksgiving and exercise his work and show them the work that he was doing there, that they could respond and it would help their belief. And it not only helped their belief, but he raised Lazarus from the dead. And that's not our way, is it? It's not. That's not how any of us would have done it. And so, it's funny because I think a lot of the things that God has done in my life, I kind of shake my head looking back at. Is that our way? Was that the way that I would have done it? No. I remember when they told me they wanted to ordain me. I absolutely didn't think I was ready. I wasn't. That was kind of the funny thing about it, is that none of us are ever ready for what God's going to do. You know, I cannot understand the way in which God wanted to use me. For many of the things God lets us face, we're not ready. Okay, guys, we are not ready. And that's good. But it would be that we would be dependent on his way. That's why he does it that way. That we would be dependent on his way. Because we don't understand it. So he makes a scenario and situations in our life that are so outlandish that he'll get us to move in that direction. And then will say, oh my gosh, Lord, how did that happen? That wasn't me at all. So that is just, you know, when I think about that, when I think about the way I've responded to God in the past, when he's trying to do that work and trying to do that work of thanksgiving in my heart, I've just said that is too much to ask. It is impossible. And we all know all things are possible with the Lord. That's what his word says, right? But you don't understand my life, I would, you know, tell people. I have the reverse Midas touch. Instead of turning things into gold, it turns into useless junk whenever I touch stuff. And that is why we must be open to his way. That is absolute proof why we need to be and be open to his way. It says his ways are above our ways. So we must see what he is trying to shape or touch in us versus what we're trying to touch and shape ourselves. So the means in which we can be in his way is to live in the way. And to live in the way means to live in Jesus, right? Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So everything we do, our thanksgiving, the reason it's possible is because Jesus did what he did. And all our thanksgiving goes through Jesus to the Father. It just, all our thanksgiving, it restores that right relationship that we have. See, we're ungrateful without Christ. We have, ultimately, if we didn't have Christ, this is what our thanksgiving would be. Our thanksgiving would be basically praise to a perpetual satanic nature. That is what our praise would be. That is what it would be without Christ. We wouldn't understand thanksgiving. We cannot be thankful without Christ, not truly. We could be thankful, but without Christ, our praise would go nowhere. It would be ineffective. Ephesians 3:12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." And in 13, it says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So, you know, within Christ, all of a sudden we have this boldness and we have this work that he's doing in us and we have access and we have confidence through faith in him. What a great thing to be thankful for. What a great thing to be thankful for. And, you know, he just says, don't lose heart in those tribulations because that's going to be your glory. That's going to be your glory and you're going to be thankful for that. And so, you know, I think of a lot of us here on a Wednesday night, all of them, I'd probably say a good portion of you just knowing you guys, and I can see the fruit of Jesus in your life, that you've gotten saved, by the way, in the way, you know, you're in, but we sometimes we forget about his work. You know, we get in the way, we're rolling down the way, and we've kind of just given over, we've decided we're not gonna fight his ways. You know, we get in the door, but then we're just, it's, you know, I'm good right here in the way. He's like, hold on, I got something more for you. And I want, that's his work. So he claims to be the way, the truth, the life. The loving God is always at work, though. Christ is that work, guys. Christ is that work. Christ is the work that he's doing in the way. That is through Christ. This is his work. We need to continue to let him work. I encourage all of you guys, you know, it's if you feel like you're stagnant, if you feel like you're just kind of sitting around waiting for the end to happen, I want to encourage you to have a grateful heart and know that he has a work that he wants to continue to do with you. He has a work that he wants to continue to do. And we have to lay hold of that. We just saw that. We can be confident to lay hold of that. As we know Christ is the way and is the vehicle in which we travel down that way, it is literal as well as figurative. We are to celebrate our movement, that work that he has done down the path, down the way, knowing that it is his work. What a relief, guys. What thanksgiving there should be. Lazarus was alive because of God's work, right? We are alive, guess what? Because of God's work. Awesome. So are we so foolish to believe that it's any other case? Because he says it's finished, right? It says after this, in John 19, 28 through 30, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So, guys, when Jesus says he's finished, it's not like when my daughter says she's finished with her homework because she wants to go outside. All right, when he says it's finished, he means it's done. To say that I'm finished applies work. It implies work. It implies that he did something in order to finish. And so, guys, what he did to finish, it says here, in Matthew 5:17, it says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And that's exactly what he did. He finished it all. He completed it all. He made the way for all of us. And that is his work. That is his work in which we cannot touch. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's his work too. Okay, only through him. John 14:6. The word that is used for finished is tetelestai. It's paid in full. It means an ongoing, fulfilled work. So it's not just that we get saved, but it's that not that we're just in the way, and he's doing this work. He's fulfilling a work in us that he had planned out before time. Don't know about you, but when someone wants to do the heavy lifting for me, I am thankful. Right? Come on, who of you have kids that you're so thankful that they're old enough that they can lift stuff for you so you don't have to? That would be me. That would be me. I cannot tell you how blessed I am by all you interns who have served here at Calvary Chapel, because that means I didn't have to lift something. You have saved my back repeatedly. Thank you. So if I'm that thankful for the work of man, how much more thankful should I be for the work that the Lord's doing in me? It just gets me thinking. So, guys, believing on his work is a great way to be thankful. Just thinking about, all he's done, that he finished it for us. When we are thankful for that work, we desire to know more about him. And that's how we come to our third point, which is his word. We have the way, we have his work, and now we have his word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. See, his word tells us what he has done. What Jesus has done. It tells us about his way. It tells us about his work. And when those things happen, it gets us hungry. And there's nothing more that blesses me than someone who knows God's word. Someone who just speaks God's word when you're around them. Have you ever met somebody like that? That just knows just an immeasurable amount of scripture. And so whenever they're dialoguing with you, they'll just throw a scripture in. Not to look holy, but just truly to impart a piece of word to you. Just Holy Spirit, just give him a word that just blesses you. That's such a cool attribute of someone who just is, anyone that has that kind of heart usually is extremely grateful. I have met people that I can just see it in their eyes, Jesus shining through them as they share a little word with you in every conversation that they have with you. It kind of reminds me of Matthew 7:24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. And that's Psalm 18:30. The word feeds our faith, guys. The word, it feeds our faith. And when our faith is healthy, it springs forth in thanksgiving no matter what the circumstance. I can't tell you the brothers and sisters that I've seen and that I come into contact with that have seen horrible things that God just, they thank God. They're praising the Lord. And I want to grow up to be like that. I want to grow up to be like that because I see that God is in them. I see the work that God is doing in them. See, when the Word, who is Jesus, Jesus is the Word, right? When He spoke, when the Word moves, when that Word came out of His mouth, when He said, Lazarus, rise from the dead, man, that's what happened. There's power in the Word. And that's when we hear the Word, when we read the Word, that's what happens. Great things happen. He does His work in us, and then we are in His way. And it also strengthens our faith. That's why He tells Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So it was just, she got to see the glory of God. She got to see God move. She got to see the work of her brother being raised from the dead. And she was able to be thankful. And of course, there's the famous scripture that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. His word is what sustains us. It is what grows us. He is the bread of life. It makes us more like Him. So, you know, you are what you eat. That's what they say. So if you eat of Him, and you will be more like Him. If you eat of His word daily, you will take on the shape of Him. You will be more like Him. You will have praise in your heart. Now, guys, I know when I'm hungry and somebody feeds me, guess what? When I'm hungry, I don't know if some of you have seen me hungry. It's just ugly. All right? I just like, we'll be eating together. Some of you guys have taken me out to eat and there's just no words. You're hoping to like sit and talk with the pastor and I just got food everywhere. I'm just stuffing it in my face. Right? But when somebody feeds me, when I'm hungry, I'm thankful. And God wants to feed you His word. He wants to shape you. He wants to do that work in you. He wants to give you a thankful heart. So when you recognize His way, you will give way to His work. His work will make you be more like Him. And when you go to the source of His work, the word, as that happens and you're doing that, your heart of thanksgiving will become more like Him and less like you. And you will begin to see His will for you in the good and the bad. Which leads me to this point, His will. When we hear, thy will be done, our response to that, to His will, should absolutely be of thanksgiving. We should be like, yes, your will, not mine, Lord. When we look at I believe it's Matthew 26, 27, it said that He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. And that was Him. His heart was to glorify God in that moment. Jesus with His disciples, they are sitting around the table, that Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, the celebration of Him giving His life to a bunch of knuckleheads, right? Sitting around the table. Think about it. One would betray Him. One would deny Him three times. The other's still trying to figure out why they didn't get to sit next to Him at the table at the Last Supper, right? Because of their own selfish desires. They weren't, not one of them were thankful sitting there with the Lord. I mean, think about it. Were they? Were they really thankful? They were thankful to be there next to Jesus, but were, you know, they were also would have been thankful if somebody, if the next disciple wouldn't have been in their way so they could get like to the right hand of Jesus, right? So, guys, here in the midst, He says, like in the midst of all that, among that chicanery, among that ridiculousness, He says, in the midst, let's give praise for what God is doing. That's what He's saying. He said, let's give thanks for what I'm about to do. Jesus says, I'm about to go to the cross. I'm about to finish this. And He said, let's give thanks. All right? So we should look at this picture and we should say, yes, thy will be done. Yea. We should, because You know, we would have, if we would have been there, we would have been just like them. We would have followed in suit. We would have been wondering how we were going to get the angle, how are we going to get close to Jesus? I'm going to get me an autograph. I don't know. If we were there, I feel like we would have just fallen prey to kind of the culture and the thought process of where they were at. But I love that Jesus, no matter what, is always faithful to his personality. He's always faithful to give himself the glory. And we need to follow that. We need to follow that example. They were not in God's will in that moment. But Jesus was in God's will, so we could be in God's will. So how can we sit any longer, guys, and not have a thankful heart for his will, no matter what? Like, when I think about that, you know, his way, his work, his word, his will, it's so precious. It's so beautiful. How can I not sit and think about that a little more than I have been? See, his will is important because he wants to use us, okay? So there's his will that he's done all these things, but it's all because he wants to grab you and use you for something specific as well. But that's a problem, isn't it? Our perception gets in the way of his will, doesn't it? How he wants to use us. You ever feel like God really wants to use me, but where? I don't know. That looks scary. I don't know, man. You know, oh wait, I see somebody going that way anyway. That's for them. That's for them. See, guys, I talk a lot about presupposition and presupposed ideas with my college-age students, with my young adults. And we talk about that a lot. Just this idea of kind of we take ideas of where we came from and then we try to apply it to God's work now. And it does, the two don't fit hand in hand. The two don't fit hand in hand. And so I would ask, and I think what God's asking us to do is to kill the presupposed ideas. We are no longer to think as mortal men. We're not. We are to live life as the new men saved by grace, that new man, that thing that he's created in you, that he wants to strengthen. See, now, I will tell you that I am... me and exercise, this thing called exercise, I heard it's a thing. People do it at the YMCA. People think that they need it or something. I don't know, but that's my mortal enemy is exercise. It is the same with this spiritual exercise that he's trying to do through his will in us. There is nothing easy about it. We do not have the strength for it. And again, that's the point. It's not going to be from us. Example, you know, when I started ministry, I didn't think I'd be doing what I was doing. To think that I could teach a bunch of kids, I'd never thought I'd be able to do it. Right, I couldn't. When the next thing I thought that, okay, well, now we're going to have a discipleship class. I've never discipled anybody. How am I going to do it? Guess what? He made a way. After the discipleship, how are we going to, I need to have a vision for the youth. What is it, Lord? I don't have a vision. I have no strength. I have nothing. Lord, I have bupkis. And, you know, the Lord's like, well, hey, you know what? How about you serving youth? How, that'd be pretty cool. Hey, let me show you how to do that. All right? And it goes on and on and on down the line. And so, you know, I just, honestly, I wish there would be somewhere I could say that I had something, but I never did. I never did, and I never have, and I never will. Praise the Lord. So, in 1 Timothy 1:12, it says that, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Yes, this promotes a thankful heart. Just that concept of him strengthening us. He wants you to live in his will so he can strengthen you for the service he has called you to. Right? That is wonderful. That should excite you. You should not be bummed out or scared about the work that God has will for you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, we are to be thankful not only for the things we like, but for the circumstances we don't. When we purpose to thank God for everything that He allows to come into our lives, we keep bitterness at bay. We cannot be both thankful and bitter at the same time, guys. It doesn't work. All right? If you're hanging on to bitterness, it's because you're not looking to His way, His work, His word, His will. You're not looking to those things. You are stuck in this trap of bitterness. We do not thank Him, you know, we don't thank Him for evil, but that He is sustaining us through it. We don't thank Him for harm because He doesn't cause us harm. But we thank Him when He gives us strength to endure it, right? We thank Him for His promise that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I read this quote, and I don't know who it's from, but it says, "Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow." I love that thought. I love that thought, that heart of gratitude that God brings in us. It makes yesterday and all the horrible things I've done, He forgave, and so I'm okay with it. I can live with it, and it gives me peace for today. I don't have to worry about today because of the work that He's done in me, and gives me vision for tomorrow because, man, I know He's going to show up again because that's His character. That's His nature. We can have thankful hearts towards God even when we do not feel thankful for the circumstance, guys. We can grieve and still be thankful. We can hurt and still be thankful. We can be angry at sin and still be thankful toward God. That is what the Bible calls what is that in Hebrews 13, 15? A sacrifice of praise. Giving thanks to God keeps our hearts in right relationship with Him and saves us from a host of harmful emotions and attitudes that will rob us of the peace of God that He wants us to experience, that peace that He desires for us to lay hold of. But even more importantly, and my last point to you tonight, guys, is His wonder. All right, this is kind of a more of a response from our end. I mean, He is this, but it is the way we respond to it. Christ and what He has done in order to restore all of humanity, to restore us, that we might praise Him and glorify Him with that thanksgiving, that praise, and that He would get that glory, it should leave us in this awe. It should leave us in wonder, like, whoa, this is amazing. We just went through a list of things that He's got plans for us. He's got ways that are above our ways. He's got things that we can't even understand. He's given us a whole book on how our life runs and who we are and how we're supposed to function and our original purpose and the way He made us. The one who created the skies and the heavens came down in His word and just all bottled up. I was telling the kids over at the Boys Ranch that, you know, God just took all of Himself and bottled Himself up in a human being so He could experience with us he could go through the things that we go through, that He could relate to us, that He could be with us, that He would be personal, that we could touch Him. How awesome and wonderful is that? He's awesome. He's wonderful. Giving thanks also reminds us how much we have. Human beings are prone to covetousness. I know all you guys seen something that you want that you don't have. What is it? Spurgeon says, if you say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. So for me, I came into a pretty good large amount of money right after I got married when my grandfather passed away. And I have nothing to show for it. Because I spent it all and I wanted more. Money is not the answer, guys. Things are not the answer. And, you know, it's funny to me because giving thanks reminds us of how much we have. And it gets our eyes that wonder. Our wonder needs to be to Him, and that awe needs to be to Him, not of the things of this world. You know, the word says that we can't serve two masters. We need to either focus on one or the other. So we tend to focus on what we don't have. By giving thanks continually, guys, we are reminded of how much we do have. When we focus on blessings rather than wants, we are happier. You ever notice that? You're just like, because whenever you start thinking about that, it's like, oh. You start thinking about God, you're like, ah, yes. Yes, I remember you. You're doing all that stuff for me. You're doing all the heavy lifting. So when we start thanking God for the things we usually take for granted, our perspective changes. We realize that we could not even exist without the merciful blessings of God. Wow, we could not even exist. That's kind of humbling, right? We could not even exist without the merciful blessings of God. So I think a final warning to all of you guys tonight that maybe I could definitely, we all could glean from, I'm not counting myself out on this, that would hinder you being in awe and wonder of the Lord. Familiarity. Guys, there's nothing worse in a Christian's walk than familiarity. Comfort. Okay? And this is why. It's kind of like the story in 1 Samuel. There was a time that the ark was not in Jerusalem. And it was not in the place where it should be. And it sat in a guy named Abinadab's house on a hill. All right? And this is what happens, is it kind of got left over there. It got left there for like 20 years. God's word. Where does God's word belong? In the middle of his people, right? But, that's how we treat kind of what God does a lot of times. Oh, we've been doing this for a while. Yeah, it's right there. I know where to find it. I know where to get it. I can do that. See, that'll take the awe and wonder right out of God immediately. All right? So it's definitely something that we need to be careful of. How comfortable are you right now? Familiarity breeds contempt. And I would strongly encourage you, if you are feeling comfortable, to ask the Lord, what do you have for me next? How would I serve you? How could I do, what can I do for you, Lord? Because he's doing all the heavy lifting, guys. All you guys got to do is just like literally step out. So it's there. It's there if you step out. Because we know where he is at. If you are following the Lord, if you are thankful and you have that thankful heart, guess what? His word and who he is directly in the center in your heart. He is in us and we are in him. And so God belongs in the center of us tonight. And we should have a profound sense of awe at his way, at his work, his word, his will, his wonder. And just because you say thank you, you may not be thankful. It's something to think about. Are you afraid what people might think if you're ungrateful? Are you just too familiar with all of it and you have lost your awe? Has the word left the center point of your life? Have you compartmentalized it so that it collects mental cobwebs? Are you thankful that people serve you, but thankful that they're not in your way, is that you might have to respond in a like manner? I want to leave you with a little application before I go. This is real application. This is a real deal, all right? Sorry to do this to you guys. But I read a book a while back in my purity class, and It really stuck with me because I tried it, and it was really hard. As we sit back tonight and think about the heart of thanksgiving that we desire to have, there is no doubt that the enemy is going, as you walk away, the enemy is going to try to tempt you to like get a different thought process. He doesn't want to remind you about the heart of thanksgiving. He wants to remind you about how everything else is jacked up. All right? That's what he's going to do. As soon as you walk out, he's going to be like, yeah, whatever. The guy isn't even wearing shoes on stage. All right? So this is my challenge to you, because this is the good news, guys. This is good news. Thanksgiving, this act of thanksgiving, when we're walking with the Lord, can be used as a fire extinguisher against temptation. This is real. This is real. Okay? So my challenge to all of you, the next time you're feeling miserable and tempted by sin, and ungrateful in your heart, and you're focusing on everything that is the world in this flesh, pull out a piece of paper, pick a person that you are grateful for, and someone you're glad that's in your life, wife, husband, son, friend, don't care who it is. Don't care. It could be Jesus. Okay, it could be the Holy Spirit. I don't care what person you decide that you're going to do this for, but I want you to think about someone that you are grateful for. I want you to write down 30, not 10, not 20. I want you to write 30 things that you are thankful for about them. The first 10 will be easy. You might get to 15 if you're real smart and real spiritual. But you get to 30, you got to stop and think. You got to stop and refocus. And this is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful thing because all of a sudden you will shift gears in your mind and in your heart, and you will have to take focus on the things that you are grateful for. If you cannot find 30 things, guys, start praying about what we spoke of tonight. Are you giving over to His way, to His work, to His word, to His will, and to His wonder? If you are, you will surely find yourself with a heart of thanksgiving. Thank you, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for everything, Lord. For out You, we would not exist. So, Lord, I pray that You would touch our hearts, Lord, that we would not be hardened by Your word, and that we would not be feeling like, oh, well, why am I being challenged? Lord, this is not what that's about. This is about Your love for us. This is about Your Spirit working in us. This is about You shaping us to be like You, Lord. And Father, we thank You. We thank You that You do not leave us with ourselves. We are the worst enemy, Lord. And Father, thank You for being such a faithful friend. So Lord, go out before us tonight. Father, I pray just for protection over everybody's heart in here. I know that the enemy is already talking lies. But Father, I pray that You would direct them to Your word, to Your way, to Your will, Lord, to Your wonder, Father. I just pray that You would touch them, that they would be blessed, that they would walk out of here and carry that with them, carry that grateful heart, that they might pour that out on other people, that they could, when they say thank You, look people in the eye and be thankful for the person that's standing in front of them, for that divine appointment, Lord, that You have given. So, Father, we come before You now and we praise You. We give You all the praise and glory, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.